Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Carl Felt is brought to you in partnership with Speak Studios and Speak Boise. Speak Boise is a community-driven studio space where voices from all walks of life can speak and be heard. You can find them on Instagram and Facebook at Speak Studios, Speak Boise, and at their website, speakstudios.com. Speak Studios, speak and be heard.
This podcast is also brought to you by Instant Imprints. Promote better with Instant Imprints. Instant Imprints are Boise's visual communications experts and your place for everything you need to promote your business, club, school, or group. As a locally owned business, Instant Prints specializes in making your organization more visible with custom branded apparel, embroidery, promotional items, print services, and a wide format printing for signs, as well as banners and vehicle graphics. Want better ways to get noticed? Visit Instant Prints at instantprints.com/Boise or call 200-IMPRINTS, that's 208-467-7468. Welcome back to Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Carl Felt. I am so excited about the show that we have ahead of us. We have some phenomenal information that could save lives. I am Dr. Michael Carl Felt, and with me I have my co-host,
Tanya Hobo.
You're going to need to tune in to what's going on today. The information is jam-packed, so don't step away.
So excited. Let's go ahead and get this started.
Well, hello there, Jessica. I'm so excited to have you on the show today. And I'm really glad. It's going to be a part. I mean, you're such a warrior and advocate for people struggling with Lyme. Tell me a little bit about some of the things that you do to help people.
Well, I've done many projects. I do a lot of my projects are based off of what I felt I needed at my sickest. Like almost everything I do is based off of when I was laying in bed, desperate, suffering, what could have made my life a little easier? And every single thing I do is based off of that. So that's kind of my inspiration. I'm very much an instinct girl. So I created Rise Above Lyme. I did a couple television interviews, and that kind of inspired me further because so many people reached out to me when they saw my story and then helped them get answers. So I have a really great Facebook group that's very focused on like solutions and healing. It's not focused so much on the suffering, but like, what do you do about it? Because I feel like that's how I've always lived my life. I cannot sit in the problem. I have to like make a list of what to do about it. And then I also created like a YouTube video because I felt like some people I noticed struggle with reading. They can't read a whole bunch of articles, but they do want to learn on the subject. So I created YouTube videos that are really easy to watch. I say them slowly. I keep to simple facts because it helps people kind of grasp the information. So I kind of went off on that. And then I've done like projects like I started gathering all over the United States about disability attorneys. Like for instance, I had to go through applying for disability and it was really stressful to explain all that to an attorney. So I scanned the whole United States and found attorneys that have won on Lyme cases so that patient, when they go to that attorney, they don't have to start from scratch and explain this disease. So that's just an example of one of many projects I've done.
And that's huge.
Yeah, it's helped a lot of people. They call and they say, hey, and then that attorney already understands the disease because they already won the last case on it. It's a lot less stressful. I even wrote down a few things to remember. Oh, I did a doctor letter because so many people, when they're going to their regular primary doctor, as you know, they aren't super educated on this disease. And so I actually gathered resources that were respected by Western medicine, whatever, regular doctors, so that when they read it, they can't go, well, and they can't they're reading stuff that's actually science coming from top universities, top research. I mean, this is clinical trial kind of stuff. And so now they have a letter they can walk in with. It may not make a big difference, but we have to at least try to educate doctors that aren't aware of how complicated this disease is. So that's like another little thing I did. I'm trying to think of what else. Oh, I have
those
a directory.
Are some great ideas, because, you know, when we're sick and we're going from doctor to doctor and we're having to tell our story, I swear it makes us sicker, you know,
yeah.
and more frustrated and depressed and anxiety. So I love how you're kind of taking your group and doing so many out of the box things, so to say, because that is something I never would have thought about doing. So
yeah,
that's
incredible. I got frustrated hearing that. And I put a lot of my heart into that doctor letter. I share it all the time because I'm like, hand them this. Like, let's stand up for ourselves. Because for a while I developed medical PTSD from all the abuse I had experienced. And I thought, you know what? I would have liked to have walked in with something that was powerful enough where I could hand it to my doctor and they couldn't laugh or dismiss it. They could read it and go, oh, okay. Like, this is legit information about this disease. And then they would have learned and maybe treated me with more respect and not dismissed me so much.
Yeah, exactly.
And what's so cool, I mean, you've gone through, like you're saying, you know, this is you going through this journey and recognizing each step of the way what you would have wanted to have at that time. And now when you're on the other side, you're creating that for people that you know. So it's not like somebody like myself, you know, being a doctor. I mean, I can think, I've seen patients and I can think what it is that they need, but I haven't lived it. Yeah, I'm not feeling like you're saying, like you, I don't have the ability to read that much and I don't have the ability to go through all these different details. I need something, you know, simple, easy to grasp, something I can just watch or listen, you know, without having to kind of utilize, you know, to stay focused for a long period of time. I mean, so these are things that maybe me as a doctor wouldn't think about.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I always say that. You know, you don't get it until you get it.
No, exactly.
and it's really true. You know, he's an incredible doctor. He knows so much about Lyme.
Yes.
But he doesn't really get it until you have Lyme. And so it's
until
great
you
to have Lyme patients, you know, that conquer Lyme and then are able to go on and share what would have been helpful for them. So Thank you for everything that you do for the community. It's amazing.
It's my pleasure. It gives me purpose. I think I lost a lot of, when I went through this, I felt like I lost a lot of like my worth because I felt like I lost myself. And taking on this, it literally has given me purpose. Like, I'm filled with passion. Sometimes my family thinks I'm weird. I literally wake up and I'm so excited to get on and do another project or research a new topic and find way. It's like, I almost don't understand why I'm so passionate about it other than I think it's my purpose. And I think that's why I get joy from knowing that I can help someone.
Yeah. Yeah.
That you took the words right out of my mouth because so many of my friends, not necessarily my family, but they're like, Tanya, you're better now, but you eat, breathe, sleep Lyme disease. Why? And I think I got Lyme because this mission was my journey to be on this. So I totally can relate to how you feel. And people need us. So I'm glad you're doing it.
I'm glad you're doing it too.
Thank you.
So tell me a little bit, how did all of this start? I mean, you have certain with the Lyme, you know, people that are going through this journey, this horrendous journey. It has certain characteristics that are fairly similar, but still, you know, depending on co-infections and depending on life situations, it all is, you know, each individual is so unique in their story. So tell me a little bit, how did it all start?
Me and my family went on we rented a cabin in Shaver Lake, California at the time, and we were going up for 3 days, and we got there at like in the evening. So we hadn't gone out hiking, nothing. We literally unpacked the minivan at the time and went straight into the cabin. We ate, we played games because they had a game room. And literally when I went into the bathroom to change into my pajamas, I saw a little speck on my stomach, my abdomen, and I went to brush it off. And it wasn't brushing off. And then I realized, like, oh my gosh, this thing is like attached to me. And so I regret how I handled it. I'm very educated on how to remove a tick now, but I scraped it out with my fingernail and I flicked it. Mm. Big regret, but I didn't know any better. And I just kind of went, ugh, it just creeped me out. I didn't even think about it being a tick. I just thought, oh, bug, I'm in the mountains, no big deal. But within an hour, I was laying in bed, and me and my husband were just talking about a show we had watched. And I literally, it hit me so hard. And I think it's because of what it carried, maybe, or it was a nymph tick, I don't know. But I started like having sweeping motions of like a hot and cold sensation, kind of almost, now I relate it to almost like an anxiety feeling. And I had never had anxiety, had never had an anxiety attack. I was like super like Miss Positive, happy, always making jokes. But I like started having like a weird feeling where I immediately told my husband, I don't feel right. Like something's like, I feel so strange, like almost like I just got poisoned. I did not connect it to the tick bite. I stood up. And I literally, the room started spinning. My husband kind of helped carry me downstairs because it was two stories. We sat on the couch and I just felt like it was the flu times 100 hit me like that. And I started shaking. He could not get my body to stop trembling. It was almost like a seizure, but you're awake. It's like I couldn't stop my body shaking. And I know this is like a super severe story, but this is how it happened for me. Like, I kept having to run to the bathroom. I was nauseous. Like it was, he was Googling everything. We were trying to decide if we were going to pack up the kids because they were still pretty young at the time. If we should go to the ER. We still didn't connect it to the bug or the tick. We were up all night. I was shaking. He started a fire. He put blankets on me. He held my hand. I started thinking I was dying, which is so weird. Like I was even speaking like that. So it was almost like I went into like a warp, and I was a health nut. I worked out 5 days a week. I was like super obsessed with nutrition. Like I even had wrote a small diet book. Like I was like, I feel like I was like an example of someone that really cared about their health. So it was very weird to go through this. And then that I finally fell asleep at like 6 that morning. I probably woke up at 10, and then I just felt kind of lethargic. But the extremeness had kind of faded off. And then that following week, we brushed it off. We thought, well, maybe it's like altitude sickness, or like maybe I ate something bad, or we just couldn't figure it out. But because it kind of like those scary symptoms stopped, we just went on with our vacation because it had just started, and we only had 2 nights at the cabin or whatever. And then the following week I started having like a lot of back pain. And I blamed it on doing a push-up challenge, a squat challenge, because I was always like doing something crazy. So I blamed it on that. I started having major spine pain, neck pain. And then me and my husband, like I think the second night back, we went to watch, one of our favorite shows, and that thing happened all over again. I started shaking, started getting hot and cold. And then we knew. That had nothing to do with like altitude. This is bizarre. And it kept happening. The pain kept getting worse. I kept getting these shaking, weird episodes. They wouldn't resolve. I went to the doctor right away. Like I went to the doctor the day after we got back, and I explained. I showed the mark on my abdomen had like, it was red at that point. It hadn't turned into a bullseye at that point. It was just like, this red kind of faded. I did develop a really clear bullseye eventually, but I showed her that. I started telling her about all the pain, everything that was going on. She did an x-ray and they told me, oh, it's just scoliosis. And then they gave me like high doses of ibuprofen, 800 milligrams 3 times a day. I kept going back. I went to the doctor like once a week. Then she sent me to a spine doctor and they said, oh, well, that's not what can cause these symptoms. basically just kept getting progressing. I ended up seeing about 30 doctors over 4 years. Like, you name the doctor, I saw them. You name the test, I did it. I fought for myself really hard, and I tried everything. And some things brought some pain relief, but nothing was truly giving me like an answer. You know, I would say, they'd say like, oh, it looks like early Alzheimer's. It looks like Parkinson's. I'd get the MS. Oh, your labs look like lupus.
So you actually saw the abnormalities, in the test. You actually saw that.
Yeah, eventually I saw it on I saw that I had gone autoimmune, but that was like kind of later. I think that was much later. The stuff that hit my head didn't happen for about 2 years. 2 years is when I started getting these waving sensations over my head, almost like something was moving in my head, and my head felt like it weighed like 100 pounds. So I started not to be able to stand up very long because it literally felt like it was 100 pound head. So I had to lay down a lot. I had severe head pressure, but I didn't have that in the beginning. When it moved to my head, it scared me. It scared me. It went from worried, I'm in pain, I want relief, to there is something majorly wrong with me. Then I started getting vertigo. I started passing out. I got to the point where I needed to use a walker because we were just scared I was going to fall and bust my teeth and then affected my memory. I started forgetting when my kids got home. I would freak out why they weren't home, and then they'd have to come in and tell me, you just spoke to your kids, you just fed them, and I didn't remember that. So the memory thing got really concerning, and I started like being more aggressive with my doctors, like, you have to help me, like, I feel like there's something severely wrong. I had horrible symptoms by then. I was bedridden. I'm trying to think if, you know, they'd send me for physical therapy. I did MRIs.
I'm assuming these are all just Western medicine doctors that you saw.
Yeah, I saw a lot of specialists. Like, I saw neurologists, endocrinologists, hematologists. I can't remember all the names of the specialists.
Right, right.
But I did keep saying, send me to this, send me to this, send me to this. Like, stop telling me it looks like arthritis. I waited at one point I waited 3 months because they thought it was rheumatoid, and I wasn't. The rheumatologist told me, oh, it's not that, it's something else, go back to your primary. That's basically what kept happening. The specialist kept saying, you know, go back
I'm
to
not your primary. Person. Yeah, go back to
right.
your primary.
The endocrinologist was the worst, though. I told him my story. I felt like he really heard me, and he told me I was just depressed and had anxiety, and that's why I shook and had these things. And then he like prescribed 4 antidepressants, which I denied taking, but, I gave him a bad Yelp review.
Good. You should have. Yeah.
He actually got on and tried to defend himself.
Depression, I mean, you're up in the cabin and you're having vacation with your husband up in nature, and all of a sudden you have an acute, severe attack of depression that's making these sensations go up, and that's classical signs, right?
Right. It was so annoying, and I always told the doctors, I'm not depressed, I'm the farthest thing from it. Am I a little depressed that no one can figure out what's wrong with me? There's got to be some test that finds that answer. I always say my sister saved my life, because she's the one that figured it out.
That it was Lyme disease?
Yeah, I basically, my sister sent me a text. She was always like searching, trying to figure out, because she loves me. We are so, so close. She was always, it makes me emotional sometimes talking about it. But she was always Googling, like, could it be this? Have they ever done this? Like, that was her every single week. Like, she knew how I suffered, and she wanted to solve it because she knew I wasn't getting help with the doctors I was seeing. And one day she sent me, she goes, are you sure you don't have Lyme disease? And I kept the text too. I said, no, they would have checked for that. That's like that. You think they probably checked that first. I'm sure they're. She goes, well, I did take a survey of your symptoms and you literally have like 95% of the symptoms. And then she told me how many, she did it for me, basically. She knew all the symptoms. She took care of me sometimes because I didn't want my kids to witness some of the, when I was having seizures every day, like I can't have my kids witness that. It scared them. My older daughter admits now she thought I was going to die. But my sister sent that to me. And that same week I went to a chronic pain meetup where you meet at a restaurant, you meet with these people. I was just looking for someone that could understand living in pain, like how to deal with this. And it went around the table and it got to one woman. And when she started telling her story, I fell apart. I started bawling in front of like seven strangers I had never met because I was like, oh my gosh, I found someone that like gets this. They've been through this. And she said it took her 20 years, but it was Lyme. And then she also had babesia and Bartonella. And I just, a light bulb went off like, okay, my sister, and now one of my very best friends, I love her. I think that's, they saved my life. Like I just, and then I got tested shortly after that.
Wow. And yeah. They definitely saved your life. And that, you know, that's what, when people talk about it and spread awareness, that's what really helps others to kind of learn the symptoms and things so that when you're talking just in general to the regular population, you know, and somebody says, oh yeah, I have, you know, a brother that just, he's been having a rough couple years and going through this, and you listen, and it's amazing how many times you can say, you know, I think that sounds like Lyme disease. Yeah. So it's, I'm so glad they did that. So then what did you do from when you got tested? Then where did you turn to?
The first test I did was through a neurologist. I begged her, and she was the only doctor that kind of, she knew something was wrong. Like she was the only one that kind of looked at me and she didn't dismiss me. So when I came back to her and said, I think she was my third neurologist, I asked her if she'd run it. The results came back and only like a couple bands came up. So I wasn't CDC positive at that point. I was later. And she said she doesn't like that these came up and that she wants an infectious disease doctor to look at me at that point. Like, and then I think I ran it 6 weeks later and then I was full on CDC positive. So she tried for about 6 weeks and that infectious disease doctor would not let me schedule an appointment. She tried endless times. I called over and over. They wouldn't let me schedule. So my mom and dad came over. My sister came over. We sat down. We made a list out of like the best 25 infectious disease doctors in town. And we called them all trying to get me help. And every single one of them would not let me schedule an appointment. They said one of three things usually. No, we can't treat that. I'm sorry. Yeah. And they'd always say, yeah, we take your insurance, but the doctors, we can't see patients with that. It was just all like they were instructed to not see someone with those tests.
What I'm hearing is that they did not treat Lyme.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't treat that or we can't see patients with that. But I kept saying on the phone, because I was not super educated at the time on Lyme disease. I mean, I was still counting on Google saying antibiotics will cure this in 2 weeks. Which, of course, at first I'm like, yay! But yeah, that was a sad reality to learn.
Yeah.
I told them all on the phone, well, I see Lyme disease and tick-borne illnesses all in the infectious disease category. But they said, sorry, we're not allowed to book your appointment.
That's outrageous. I mean, it's one of the fastest growing infectious disease in the country. And they're not allowed to address it. I mean, that's.
Yep. And who do we thank for that? The CDC or a lot of people, right?
Yeah, a lot of people. Yeah, and that is because it is such a complex. I think it's such a complex disease, and right. So it becomes too expensive for them to treat it, and they don't have any really medical solution for it.
Right.
So
I always think it's the brave doctors that will try, like you.
Yeah.
I was going to say, that's him all over. Like, you know, he sticks his neck out on the line for trying to help people. And, you know, and then in the back, these Lyme doctors are like, okay, when am I going to get caught? When is somebody going to find what I'm doing, that I'm treating a Lyme patient? And it's scary and it's so sad. It's so sad.
Yeah. I have the most respect for doctors that help patients with Lyme because they are the most courageous, the most, they take their oath seriously. It's about helping us. Like, I don't expect any doctor, even my doctor letter is very kind. It's a kind. I don't want to tell a doctor off. I want them to help me. I want them to want to learn. You know what I mean? I want to be allies. It's okay if they don't know, but can we try? Can we work together on solutions? That's where good doctrine comes
and,
in.
And there was a point where, and there's, it still may be going on in some places in the country where a medical doctor, if they diagnosed it as Lyme disease, they had a risk to lose their license.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And it's still going on.
Yeah. Yeah. So it outrageous, you know, where it's at. So I'm curious, you know, something you said at some point you saw the bull's rash, you know, bull's eye rash.
Oh, yeah. And, I forgot.
Yeah. And you still didn't tie it to Lyme disease.
Yeah, I would show this. At this point, I was on my second primary because my first primary was worthless. But my second primary, I went and I lifted up my shirt and I said, I still don't even understand this. It was well over a year. And I said, why do I have this mark on my abdomen? So weird. I said, it's just like a red circle and it's white in the middle. That was because I still didn't know what bullseyes were or tick bites. I didn't know it, but it's all in my medical record. She went to this cabin. She picked a bug off. Like, it's like, why wasn't anyone thinking tick bite, Lyme disease? But I showed them that. And she says, that's odd. And I said, well, what is it? Is it ringworm? Cause I Googled that. And she goes, no, it doesn't have, it's not ringworm. I can tell that just by feeling it. Just use this. I'll prescribe a fungus cream.
Wow.
So yeah, that was my bullseye and it's documented in my medical records. When my actual Lyme doctor that I found 5 years later or 4 years later actually saw that in my medical records, he just shook his head. Like, I was a classic example of going to a mountain, picking a tick off of me, having a bullseye, and I still didn't get treatment and it had to go chronic. I had a chance. I had a chance of healing from this and not living years and years of suffering.
Yeah.
Well, and that was the same as my story. I got the bullseye rash and right away went to the doctor and he knew what it was, but he wouldn't tell me. And because he was a Western medicine doctor, but he'd been my doctor for like 15 years. Like one of those doctors I could call up and say, hey, you know, I think I have a sinus infection, and he would just call in whatever form, you know, one of those great doctors. Awesome. And all he told me was, because it was on my ankle, and I don't want this story to be about me, but I just want you to know that you're not the only one who, you know, didn't know what a bullseye rash was because it was on my ankle. And so the next morning I could hardly walk on my foot. And that's when I called him and he says, get in here right away. He saw it. And I mean, bullseye rash all over it. And he gave me a pain shot. And he specifically told me, if in the next week or two you feel weird, you get the flu, you have a fever, just anything weird, you call me right away. And I'm like, oh, okay, whatever, right? And nothing happened. And that was documented in my charts too. Came in with the bullseye rash. So he knew because why would he give me that information? Yeah. Instead, you know, he let me lose almost 13 years of my life. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, because it's at that point, yeah, when you have that acute, like right after, you can go after it with antibiotic.
Yeah.
Then it's good, you know, that acute. But then for the chronic, yeah, like you said, antibiotics, 6 weeks gone. No, it's not gone in 6 weeks. That's ridiculous.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And it's sad because most acute cases turn into chronic before a doctor will even listen to them.
Yeah, they'll wait for some kind of lab result, which it's not going to show. By the time it shows up in your labs, it's too late. Sorry, window gone. Mm-hmm. I mean, and the fact that nobody, not a lot of people see the tick that bites them. They don't notice the bullseye rash. It's just such a complicated thing. But there are plenty of cases, which you and I are an example of, that it can. And I run across people all the time, and I and my group, we teach them how to make sure you get enough, because I've saved hundreds and hundreds, maybe thousands of people that didn't turn chronic because I was passionate.
How does
maybe
that,
in their face, but
how does that feel to impact people that way now?
It feels good. It makes me, I'm usually angry during it. Mm-hmm. Like the fact that I have to figure out how to save them when they have a doctor that could, but it feels good. Like I feel like, and I know I've saved people from, I know it's so super sad. There's such a high rate of suicide with this disease, but I feel like I have single-handedly saved people from that, like by sharing my story.
Yep.
And showing them like, hey, you can be really bad, like bedridden, seizures, lose your memory, pain, you just want to die, and you can come to this. And I'm not fully well. I mean, I'm still have issues. That's part of this disease. You know, it's backwards, forwards, peeling off the layers, but I am so much better, like drastic. I feel like my story needs to be heard because I know people are still sitting where I was.
Yeah.
I don't want them to give up.
So what was it that turned around? So you, after 5 years, you met this
doctor.
Yeah.
I won't say his name because I'm so protective, but
yes, I agree.
I dug in deep on Google, and I learned about Lyme literate doctors, was able to find one before I'd ever joined a Facebook group or anything, and found him. I was super bad at that point that we would talk every day. They were waiting, trying to get an opening for me because they knew they needed a big gap in their schedule. And they did manage to get me in, but it took several weeks because he was pretty booked out, but they kept trying to move stuff around in their schedule. And I spent 3 hours with him, and he was the first doctor in all those years that understood the symptoms I mentioned, didn't dismiss it. I just felt, I just cried during that appointment because I was looking at this man that like, he had such compassion in his eyes, and everything I said, he understood. And they knew what labs to run. And then he actually asked me to stay in the hotel down the street because he was worried. He was worried about me because I had to lay down on a couch during the appointment, my husband holding my hand. I was so weak. He gave me things to try to he gave me electrolytes and some other things to try to just stabilize me because I think I was scary to look at that point. And then they pulled 17 vials. He ran a ton of labs, and me and my husband didn't care, just run them. We are so done with not knowing for sure what's wrong with me. And he was guessing on everything what to run clinically, like he had clinically diagnosed. And he was right. He was right on every single one. When all the labs came back, I smile about it, but it really was sad at the time. But when he came back, he was right about everything. He just didn't expect Rocky Mountain spotted fever. And I know that can be super deadly often within weeks. And I think that's probably why I was so severe, maybe. Mm-hmm. Or maybe it was just such a, he called it can't cuss. Let's see. It was just a really bad tick. It was a bad tick. I was going to quote what he actually said. Not that it was a super bad word, but it was a really bad tick.
It started with mother. Is that what you're saying?
No. He doesn't go that far, but that's what I say.
Yeah, yeah.
But it had Bartonella, Babesia, Ehrlichia, Rocky Mountain spotted fever. Oh my God, there's a few more, but those are the ones I focus on because I feel like I had to focus on somewhere.
So what, when he found all of this out, I mean, what was the process of treatment? I mean, how did he attack it and address it?
Well, he's a naturopath, and he does see he does see why antibiotics can be useful to bring down the infections. I just let him run the show. I was so thankful that someone even knew what was wrong with me. We used at first he started it with it was natural stuff, probably too long to list. I slowly added them. He's very gentle. He didn't want to overwhelm my body. He taught me about detox and binders to make sure I mop up. But I started at first on some oral antibiotics, never just one, always a combination. I learned that. I don't know when I brought in biofilm things to adjust biofilms. I kind of forget that part. That part of my life's a little bit of a blur, but I remember the important stuff. We did antibiotics and natural herbals, supplements, things to kind of balance the things that were going on in my body, help supported my adrenals. Cause I mean, everything was messed up in my body at that point. I didn't make it very long on oral antibiotics. I had massive stomach issues. I just couldn't tolerate it. And I was starting to get pretty scary symptom wise. So I ended up needing to get a PICC line. So I had my first PICC line put in, and we went with some IV antibiotics. And then I also needed fluids because I also had developed really bad symptoms of POTS, like very, very bad. Like that took years to figure out too. So I had IV antibiotics. I did IV fluids, and I ended up needing that for 18 months. But at the same time, I was using supplements and herbals. But the goal was always to get me off of that. We didn't want to be on antibiotics. I wanted to be on an all-natural protocol. I'm very supportive of everyone's protocol. Like, if someone says on antibiotics, like, whatever, it's going to work. I mean, I used a combination, and it worked for me. I don't know if antibiotics was needed. But you know what? Whatever he used and did and the choices he made saved my life.
Right.
And so eventually I was able to come off. I stopped having seizures I think it took at least 9 months to a year.
But
I was like,
you were feeling kind of gradually that you're moving in the right direction or?
Yeah. I'm going to say the first 6 months I was like, am I doing the right thing? What am I doing? Like and I know all Lyme patients do that. They kind of question because you want to get better. You're used to having an illness, the doctor gives you something, you feel better in like the next day or 48 hours. This is such a weird illness where you don't feel better right away. So you start to question your doctor's mm-hmm. choices, but I kept putting my faith in him. Thank God I did. But I'm going to say I started knowing that something was working, not that I was suffering less, but I felt something. I think that was the beginning of me like really knowing to trust my instincts. But at 9 months, I felt something. Like I felt like I think I'm healing. Like I can feel different. And I stopped having those episodes. It made me scared to go out in public because it happened in a restaurant. It would happen in restaurants. It was so embarrassing. Like to just start your whole body starts doing this. It scares people to see it. So I never wanted to go anywhere. I was afraid to like go anywhere, but it slowly started getting better. And when I finally got the PICC line and we thought we can go natural. I was strong enough to finally address the dental issues. We found that I know Lyme can really attack and harbor in the mouth. And I found it was harboring in my root canal and I had a lot of metal in my mouth. So I had to address that. I had the root canal removed. That was like my next step because I wanted to get rid of the head pressure. That was like my worst symptom at that point. Like, just could not take it.
Do you think so the head pressure was from your root canal from coming from your mouth?
I feel like it was Babesia. That's what I think it was. But I feel like it was definitely part of it because when I handled that, I swear the next day, and this I'm not saying everyone go do this or whatever. I'm telling you, the next day there was a change. I felt it and it never came back. Okay. Not that I don't ever get some head issues, but that I had a severe, intense pressure on the base of my skull. That was torture. And I felt it for years, every single minute of every single day. So when I handled that, I addressed mold exposure. I did so many things.
Parasites?
But then, yes. Parasites. I'm trying to think of like, gosh, there's so many like
I know.
Steps. Healing so from that.
Yeah.
I just address parasites near the full moon, like 3 to 5 days before, 3 to 5 days after. I'm very careful about clean, non-toxic things that I use. I'm very careful and almost paranoid to be in a mold environment. Because that I had that one seizure episode happen on a trip one time because it was moldy.
Yeah.
I've been on natural ever since I handled, got the PICC line out and that, and I have maintained all natural protocol, and it's only made me continue to improve. So I haven't touched antibiotics for years, and I can see a lot of it in my labs, like, wow, like I'm still doing it. I'm still driving them down. Rocky Mountain's in remission. I'm rechecking Lyme to kind of see where it's out, but my Babesia numbers used to be at 160. It took forever. I finally have it at where it's just on the line. So I'm almost there.
Which labs do you use to track?
A lot of times I use Igenix or some of them. I know some of it, like, am I allowed to say any sure. labs?
Yes. Yeah.
I think
nobody's getting a continuing education on this.
So okay. Of course, I think it has been able to pick up Rocky Mountain in me before. And I know like Galaxy's really great with Bartonella. I've used Armin Labs in Germany as well. Mm-hmm. But lately, like, we clinically kind of watch my symptoms. So I just personally love labs because I'm a girl that just wants to look at it. Like, that's just who I am. So, but I've driven a lot of stuff down. I still have some immune system issues. EBV just reactivated, and that bums me out. Like, I've beat that down so many times, and then something makes it comes back. But I'm confident I can get it back into control. But yeah. you gotta accept the roller coaster.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's a really important point for people to hear that, you know, dealing with mold, when you've dealt with it, the neurotoxicity of it, just to be aware of the environment so you recognize how important it is to not step into an environment that can impact you in that way. To be aware, because it really, when you are in that vulnerable place, you're in that, you're fighting, trying to get rid of these pathogens, and then all of a sudden you add that stressor by stepping into that environment, that it can have that big of an effect on you.
Oh, it was extreme. It really interrupted my treating. It was bad.
Yeah. Well, Jessica, is there one thing that you feel that you would like to share to the people that are newly diagnosed, that you feel that this is something, I mean, obviously you've shared a lot already, but kind of one point that this is something I really want them to know, and I wish I would have known this when I was diagnosed.
I actually have a note. So I wrote down something just in case for something like this, because this is the kind of message that I want to be heard, but I'm always afraid I'm going to forget the right thing.
I hear you.
So I wrote this part down because it's important. My advice is to reach out to others that understand. Don't join every group. Stay only in compassionate ones that focus on solutions, success stories, humor, and healing. Empower yourself with education and solutions. This is how my friends and I run the groups. I help this community because I know without a doubt I can help. I know at one point in time I genuinely felt there was no hope. I was convinced I would not survive. I could not have been worse or felt worse than I did, but I healed and I continue to heal despite that. My job in this world is to share my story, because just telling it may be what someone needs to keep fighting. There will be setbacks. Sometimes you'll feel like you're going backwards. Healing from these diseases is complicated, but it does happen. It takes hope. It takes mindset. And above all, you will be tested. But you can do this. You will come out on the other side different, a stronger version than you ever imagined. Hold on to hope. You are worth fighting for. I promise it can and will get better. I will walk beside you until you believe that too. you will rise above. That's my, sorry, I get emotional because that's really how I feel.
No, and you gave me goosebumps. I mean, that.
I love that.
It's just, it's so powerful what you've been talking about tonight. Just thank you. But I do know that I want to end on this note. I know that you have a poem that is very kind of dear to your heart, and you shared it with me, and I love it. So if you wouldn't mind, would you share that with us?
I will. Okay. I'm going to do this without crying. I'm such an emotional person. Okay.
That's okay.
If I do, oh, well, that's just who
that's
I am.
Right.
Crying is good for the soul.
Yeah. Okay. When you have faced the unimaginable, you change. You see things and people differently. You see through walls that look unbreakable. You see through people that have worn an invisible mask. Your experiences feel more rich because you faced knowing they may be taken from you. You feel deeper and love deeper than you did before. You grieve a different way. Small things no longer take you down because you learned what big things really are. You set boundaries to protect yourself. You dig deep within for strength you didn't know you possessed. You focus on hope and optimism, knowing that without them, you may get lost. You look forward and have learned to adjust to change. You walk beside those that understand because you need them as much as they need you. You know you are never alone again because of them. To all my friends that have Lyme disease, thank you.
That's beautiful.
It is, isn't it? I love it. Thank you for sharing that.
Jessica, thank you so much. Thank you for...
So nice to meet you guys face-to-face. Well,
yes, yes.
Zoom to Zoom.
Right. That's what our world's turned to.
I know.
Well, thank you so much for being so vulnerable and open and sharing your story. And again, for continuing to just advocate for those people that really need our help, because you are making changes and you are making a huge difference.
Thank you so much.
And thank you for what you guys do. This is an amazing way to inspire others.
It is. And your story is definitely inspiring. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
The information in this podcast is for educational purposes only and is not designed to diagnose or treat any disease. I hope this podcast impacted you as it did me. Please subscribe so that you can be notified when new episodes are released. There are some excellent shows coming up that you do not want to miss. If you're enjoying these podcasts, please take a moment to write a review, and please don't keep this information to yourself. Share them with your family and friends. You never know what piece of information that will transform their lives. For past episodes and powerful information on how to conquer Lyme, go to integrativelymesolutions.com, and an additional powerful resource, limestream.com. For Lyme support and group discussions, join Tanya on Facebook at Lyme Conquerors Mentoring Lyme Warriors. If you'd like to know more about the cutting-edge integrative Lyme therapies my center offers, please visit thecarlfeldcenter.com. Thank you for spending this time with us, and I hope to see you at our next episode of Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Carlfeld.